Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. God be the glory. We ask, O Lord, visit with us today, even as we visit with you. Help us, O Lord, to gaze upon you in the spirit, to see, Lord, what we have not been able to see before. Anoint our eyes with eyes of, that we may see the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But as always, we declare that the entrance of that word brings light and gives understanding to the sinful. So we receive that understanding and that light into our hearts, even today, the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we are seriously in a countdown now for September to Remember event. Just 5 days to go. Praise the Lord. You know, so we are reminding ourselves, we are exhorting ourselves, and get ready. You know, I've been touching on this Get Ready series for quite a while. You know, as we approach, trying to build anticipation. Praise the Lord. Anticipation is so critical when we are expecting God. When you are expecting a guest, you know, an important guest, that you know they are coming and there's a date that is set, you might actually try to make preparation in your house and clean up some things, make ready, and so forth. So today, God is coming down among the people. So let's get ready. You know, we talked about getting ready during the consecration. We talked about the glory about 3 weeks ago or so. I covered a topic on getting ready for the glory. I want to remind us of what we are actually preparing for and what we're looking forward to. Never mind all the distractions and so forth. We'll have a time of prayer at the end. However, you know, what's important is what's ahead. You know, we've been talking about, you know, pressing forward to what's ahead and not looking back, you know. And, you know, I got my sights set. Do you have your sights set? I got my sights set. Nobody turning me around. Devil can't do it. Shouldn't even try. He may try, but he's not going to succeed. He's going to fail. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't mean the gates of hell will not try. They will try. You know, the Bible said they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Everyone that gathers against you shall fall for thy sake. You know, so anything that's trying to gather, you know, any gathering storm that is not from the Lord against this event, it's going to be blown away just like the wind. We just blow it away. It's nothing at all. We have confidence in the Lord. Praise God. So I want to talk to us about God visiting with his people. It's so, so important, you know, that we prepare ourselves. You know, God doesn't need any preparation. In fact, every preparation is on our side. You know, the Lord is always the same. You know, and the reason we don't experience him like that, like we should, because we're not well prepared. You know, so if we're well prepared, we will experience the glory of God. And I'm just going to talk to us today, have some scriptures, different things. But I want to be more of a heart to heart. You know, what are we expecting? What are you expecting when you go to an event like this? What does it really mean? Are you coming just out of curiosity? Just to be said that you were there? You know, why are you really coming? What is it all about? Why are we even doing this? What is it all about? We have our usual morning room for us. I call it morning, for some of you it's daytime, but this meeting, we have it all the time. You know, why do something else? Is this not sufficient? Well, maybe so. However, when the Lord calls for a gathering, there's a reason. And this is what we must discover for ourselves. We must discover the reason so that we are in alignment. Now, when the Bible says that the word that was spoken was not mixed with faith in the heart of some, it wasn't everybody that didn't benefit from that word. It was just the ones that did not receive the word with faith, their hearts. I love this scripture in the book of Romans chapter 3. You say, well, what if some did not believe? That's right. Now, if some did not believe, shall their unbelief now make the faith of God of none effect or the work of God of none effect? No. Anybody that doesn't believe, that's on them. It's their loss. But God's going to do what he's going to do. And he will always have those who are going to believe. Now, when Jesus came physically the first time, ministry recorded for us in the Gospels, his earthly ministry, that is. Well, did all the people believe? Absolutely not. Most of the people didn't believe on him at all. Even at first, his own brethren, his own, in his own family, the other children of Mary and Joseph, they didn't believe on him at first, and even many of the Jews did not believe. Now, some of the common people did believe, a lot of people did not believe, but did that hinder what Jesus was going to do? Jesus did what he came to do in the midst of a lot of unbelief and even dishonor. The Bible said many times, Jesus would say, you dishonor me, but my Father honors me. I called him Beelzebub. They called him whatever, wine bibber and so forth, friend of sinners, this and this. They labeled him whatever name, but did that stop him from doing what he came to do? Of course not. He stayed focused on what he came to do. So I want us to stay focused. There's always going to be stuff. Stuff's always going to happen and so on. Stuff's always going to be brewing in the background and so forth. But the question, though, is this. Whose report are we going to believe? And whose power is stronger? Whose power is stronger? Jesus acknowledges power of the devil. He said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. So he acknowledges the power of the enemy, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. But he's giving us power greater. So if my power is greater than the power of the enemy, well, then, I don't need to worry. Praise God. So we're going to exhort ourselves with some scriptures, but more so, I want us to be prepared. Prepare our hearts. This is a practice, call it a practice run for preparing for the coming of the Lord. Many of us talk about coming of the Lord, but we're not actually actively preparing, for the coming of the Lord, because we've been preparing and then there was a lull for many years. And then, it's kind of like that, Some of us, when we first heard about the coming of the Lord in the 70s, we were so fired up. People wanted to quit everything. They just wanted to how the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. Well, enough time passed. And see, the Lord is like that too. We are not the ones going to set the schedule of the Lord. No. It's already, he has prepared his work in the heavens. Before any of us even were born, so we need to understand the times and what God is doing and align ourselves, not the other way around. God's not the one going to align himself with our thinking. So God has stuff that he's doing. We need to figure it out and align ourselves with it. And God also has a way of weeding out the unbelief. You know, he did it in the wilderness. In fact, he let them go around for 40 years. 40 years they went around in circles until he got rid of all the bunch that did not believe anything. Got rid of all of them. You know, and I say, ha. Joshua went with a new generation, you know, or a younger generation after the old people that didn't believe anything that came out of there. They all perished in the wilderness. Well, you know, I'm not going to die in the wilderness. Are you? No. We are not going around in circles in another wilderness. Well, there's been a wilderness too, I guarantee you. You know, because people that thought in the 70s that the Lord was coming, unfortunately, many of them are falling away. Not the ones that slept in the Lord. To God be the glory for those that kept the faith till the end. But for some, they are falling away. And he said, my soul shall not have pleasure in those, if any shall draw back unto perdition. Many are falling away. Some people say, well, to your tents, O Israel. God, the Lord, I expected the Lord to come, and the Lord didn't come. You know, and he said, well, you know, just like Peter, when he came back, you know, it's like, well, I don't know what, you know, is going on here. Well, I go fishing. The people say, well, yeah, I go fishing with you. You know, and went back. You know, that's not what the Lord called you to do. You know, so now, you know, this is a little mini run of preparation. How do you prepare for a significant thing? Now, some of us actually know how to do it for other things, you know, like, you know, you got a wedding planned or a birthday bash or some celebration. Oh, my goodness. People can go to all the ends of the earth. I know we do it in my family. We love parties. And when it's time to do a big one, we'll prepare. Sometimes we've been preparing for years. Sometimes we'll travel to Nigeria to go and get some more stuff. You know, most people do that. Most of our Nigerian brethren who live here, they do that. When they have a big party coming, they'll go back to Nigeria because some of the stuff they need, like the traditional outfits and so forth, you can't get them here. So we'll go back there and we'll spend time, we'll prepare, we'll do all of those things. And you engage, you know, the event planners and you do all these things. You know, nothing wrong with those things. You must do those things. But can we do that when we are preparing for something like the Lord is coming to meet with us, you know, or even the Lord is coming again? So this is a little mini run. You know, are you preparing for this? I know we did the consecration. I hope everybody really did it with all their heart, you know, but it's not over yet. Every day leading up to that event and through the end of that event, we're still in a zone. We're still there. Praise God. And God is coming to meet with his people. So let's get ready. The glory is about to fall. You know, and if there's one thing that we need in that September to remember, is the manifested presence of God. You know, we have been experiencing his universal presence, you know, because the Lord is everywhere. As we are speaking right now, I'm here, you're there, wherever you are, the Lord is in our midst, because he already said so. But that's not what I want for September to remember. I don't want his universal presence. I have that already. What I want is his manifested presence, wherein he said, I will manifest myself to him. Huh. That's what I'm looking for. What are you looking for? You know, now, you know, we have faith in the measure of faith that God has given us. And by the grace of God, we can use that faith, you know, to get, you know, trinkles of rain here and there, and we've been using it, but we're looking for a deluge. We're looking for a concentration, you know, of His glory and His presence. And it becomes so thick, you can actually see it. Praise the Lord, you know, and we want to gaze upon Him. And we can experience Him anytime that we can actually really gaze upon Him. It's just that we have so many distractions in our lives, you know, distraction every day. You know, we can't detach ourselves from all the things that distract us. But we got to practice. You got to practice the presence of the Lord, and you can gaze upon Him. Did you know that, you know, this gazing upon Him is so critical for you to become like Him? You have to see Him as He is. That's what gazing upon Him means. I'm going to show you a scripture here in 1 John chapter 3. Turn with me to that, 1 John chapter 3, and see what how John puts it. You know, he said, you know, beloved, what manner of love, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, therefore the world knows us not, because the world knew Him not. And so we are sons of God. I mean, we're kind of strange to the world. The world can't figure us out. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, everyone that's born of the Spirit of God, no one can figure them out. They're like the wind, right? They said the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell where it's coming or where it's going until it has passed. When it's passed, then you see the movement, because all the trees are now blowing, the wind, the, you know, leaves, everything blowing. And you say, ah, then you realize that that's the wind. Well, but the wind's already passed. You know, you just see the aftermath of it. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. You can't divine their lives. That's different if you go and submit yourself to some palm reader or some, you know, negative thing like that, which no believer should ever done. No child of God should ever do that. But ordinarily, they can't divine you. They don't know where you're going, where you're coming. Well, so that's why it means that the world doesn't know us. But say now, we already are the sons of God. It's not that we're going to be, we already are. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. See, the end of it has not been fully revealed yet. We know what it will be in the scriptures, because we will be like Christ, but we are not seeing it quite just yet in our lives. You know, but we know that when He shall appear, see, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now let's decompose this scripture. I've referred to it many times, but I want to decompose it a little bit today, unpack it, so to speak. Let's consider what it says. We know that when He shall appear, okay, think of it this way, when He shall appear, in other words, when you shall appear means unveiling of something, you know, He shall appear, we shall be like Him. But look at the next thing He says after that, for we shall be, you know, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, the word for is a conjunction. When you use that, you use it to connect what you just said with what you're about to say. You know. So what He just said is that we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. And then He now says for or because. Now, why, how is His appearing going to make us like Him? He said, well, because we see Him as He is. Now think about that. So unpacking that, you see that this is way beyond the coming of the Lord in the translation. Because if we are going to be like Him because we see Him in the translation, be honest, it's too late. You know, in my mind, the way the Lord revealed this to me some years ago is that this is the revelation that is here. Is that when you gaze upon him, when you see him as he is, what you see in him and adore in him is what you can become. That's it. You know, it's what you see in him is what you can become. So we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. So when you are gazing upon him in the spirit, and loving his attributes, his wisdom, his kindness, you know, his amazing compassion and all these things, when you're loving it, that's what you can become. And you are adoring. Now, when you see his beauty, though, and he reveals that to you, that's also what we can become. There's a transformation that happens. I mean, Moses was able to gaze upon the Lord for days. For days, gazed upon the Lord. Lord told him some incredible things, you know, gave him secrets, things that happened before even anybody was here. You know, those days, he learned a lot of things, wrote so many things that people wonder, how in the world did Moses write all these things? Well, days in the presence of the Lord, days, 40 days, 40 nights, did that even twice. God took him to many dimensions, but in those times when he was gazing upon the Lord without any distraction, nobody else was around. He was being transformed. He himself didn't even realize that he was being transformed like that when he came back out of that place. I mean, his face was shining like the glory of God. It was blistering. I mean, it was just like that. Wow. People were scared. He himself didn't see it, but the people that were looking at him were seeing it. His face had been completely changed because he was gazing on the Lord that whole time. And people said, we can't, you know, it was like a blinding light. They couldn't even look at it. They you know, say, hey, you know. And so the people that were close to him, like Aaron and Joshua, Aaron would tell him, hey, people can't even look at you. We'll say, what's going on with my face? Because he didn't see it. I said, hey, put this over your face. You know, so he had to put like a veil over his face. Think about that. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody quite like that in my day. I haven't seen anybody whose face has been transformed. We've seen the glory of God occasionally on some people, but I haven't seen it quite to that degree where their face will be completely, literally changed. That's something that we can experience. And if we want it bad enough, and you gaze on him long enough, you might just experience it. And I'm praying for that. I don't want to be a teacher of this thing only. But it said, husbandman is first partaker of the fruits. You know, the way our eyes are right now, we can't see it. We need something called eyes of. Jesus said, and it's like, you know how you put eye drop in your ear, eyes and so on. Jesus said, look, you think you see, but you don't see. You know, ask of me and I'll give you these eyes of that you may see. Well, you think you're clothed, but you're actually naked. Ask of me and I'll give you the real raiment. I'm telling the church in Laodicea. What, you think you are rich? You think you are increased with goods and you have need of nothing? But I tell you what, you're actually poor. You're miserable. You're wretched. And I've never seen Jesus use, you know, so many words to define or describe the deplorable state that church was in. Yet they thought they had everything. So I am rich. I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. Jesus said, actually, you are poor. You are blind. You are miserable. You are wretched. You are even naked. I don't want to be naked. You know, Adam found himself to be naked because he lost the glory. The nakedness that Jesus is talking about, the Laodicea, is the glory had departed. It's called Ichabod. It's no more. The glory of God is gone now. Now they are naked. That's what Adam found out. You know, Romans 3 and 23 says, from all I've seen and falling short of the glory. And when that glory departed, he now found himself naked. It was in the same, it was the same way he was the whole time. It was just that the glory of God was so around him that he didn't know that he was naked, because he was covered, and he wasn't naked. He was covered with the glory of God. But when that glory fell, and a lot of other things happened too, you know, when that glory was upon Adam like that, everything looked to Adam and they were enlightened. Even plants, vegetation, trees, everything, animals. They got their unction from the glory that was oozing out of Adam. Everything was in alignment. The animals were well behaved. Even the plants. There was no poison ivy, no all these, you know, poisonous things and so on. No. Everything, Bible said, was beautiful this time when he created it. If they were poisonous, he wouldn't call it beautiful. Well, everything was glorious. And the glory that was on Adam kept everything going like that. But when he lost that glory, and the animals looked to him, and there was no glory, no direction, no instruction. So that was this glory that was on Adam was instruction by itself, even without his speaking. It was instruction. When they looked to Adam, they were enlightened. They just, his presence, the glory that was upon him, put everything in alignment. You know, subdued the animals, subdued the plants, made everything docile. Everything was just like that. But when he lost the glory and they looked and they couldn't see and couldn't, anarchy started to set in. Everything started to misbehave. Plants started to become wild. Animals became wild. Animals were not wild in the beginning, because everything that God made was beautiful. You know, and God wanted to show us, you know, what Adam lost. We saw that in the story of Noah. When the Lord returned that dominion, returned it upon Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord put a portion of that glory back on him. The glory to have dominion. See, the glory does many things. You know, the glory to have dominion. Put it back on Noah. And all the animals that were already wild at that time. Every one of those that were coming, that were selected, not all of them. The wild ones remained, but the ones that Noah selected. See, they all lined up. They had an audition, and Noah selected them, and they all lined up and behaved. They, you know, the rest of them went back and wild or whatever they wanted to be. But all the ones that came under Noah's influence. See, that's what the glory does. It came under Noah's influence. They all became docile again. The lion lay down with the lamb. The fox, the rest of them, they lay down with all the things they would have preyed on. None of them was doing any such thing. Noah would say, you all stay in your corners now. Wait until I give you your meal. No growling. Don't look at the chicken. Don't do that. And they all, every one of them just behaved. 150 days, 5 months, they behaved themselves. That is an insight into what the glory of God can do and does. Now, we are looking for this glory again. You know, and, you know, some of us might have experienced a taste of it here and there at times when your faith was working. You know, but, you know, it's like we're always in and out of it. You are actually more out of it than you are in it. We spend more time out of the glory than time we spend in the glory. And so, and then what happens? Well, we don't even have the joy that we should have. The peace that should even be around is not there. Joel chapter 1 verse 12 says, well, things are languishing because the joy has even diminished from the sons of God. You know, when that returns, and how does that return? In thy presence is fullness of joy. What kind of presence? Not the universal presence. That doesn't bring fullness of joy. As I've argued that before, if that brought fullness of joy, then there should be fullness of joy everywhere, because his universal presence is everywhere. No. It is his revealed presence, his manifested presence, the one that we cannot get unless we are keeping his word. John 14 and 23. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. Keep there means a guardian of the thing. You're not just a doer, you are a guardian of the thing. That's right. You will not let it go. You will not let it depart out of your mouth. You will teach it to your seed, to your children's children. You say it everywhere you go. It will never depart from your mouth. You're a guardian of that thing. You're keeping it. Huh? You're doing it. You're keeping it. You're teaching it. And you're seeking it. You want it more. You say, you know, I looked for that word. You hung out for that word. And when I found it, it was the rejoicing of my soul. I rejoice at the word of God as somebody that found great spoil. Sammy said, to such a one, I will manifest myself. What we're looking for is manifestations at September to remember. God is coming in our midst. So, we need to prepare ourselves for this meeting. When you're about to go for an interview, you get all well-dressed and everything. You have to dress for the part, the job. I mean, of course, if you are going for a construction job, I don't think you will wear a suit. you have white collar, blue collar jobs. Let's say you're going for that, white collar thing. You have to be well-dressed for it and everything. You also have to try to figure out and get yourself ready of what they might ask you. Well, we got to make preparation in our heart too when we're trying to meet with the Lord. What might the Lord say? What might he want? Now, in a previous lesson, I taught this before, that the glory of God and his presence is not accidental. I'm going to say that again to us today. It's not accidental. This is the last Saturday before that event. So I just wanted to take a time and talk to us. The glory of God is not accidental. It requires preparation. Preparation. It requires the invitation of God says, come. Come. And do this. Come and meet with me. Come and build with me. I'll be glorified in it. It's an invitation. Well, that invitation requires preparation. Nonchalancy will not be rewarded with a visitation like this. And there were even some people that Jesus was talking about that were invited for some feasts. There was a king that made a feast. He said, the kingdom of heaven. It's like unto someone made a great feast. He made preparation on his side and sent invitation to those people that were invited. And every last one of them made excuses. Excuses. It's a story in Matthew 22, a story in other places. They made excuses. One way or another, it was an excuse. Well, you say, I've accepted the invitation, I'm coming, but are you getting your self ready. We can't meet with the Lord in the flesh. You know, God is spirit. You cannot meet with him in the flesh. Yeah, so when we start to prepare ourselves, you know, get out of that flesh. Be spirit. Let me talk to you about being spirit. You say, well, what's he talking about? Well, you know, listen to this in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The presence and the glory of God. See how he describes, you know, when we come together. He said, you know, we are come together, starting from verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12, describing the gathering, you know, of God's people. And a gathering like this, you know, that we are expecting, you know. So he said, we are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Wow. It's a different Mount Zion. It was started to say that you're not come unto that mount that can be touched and all these other mounts smoking with fire, this and this and this. But yeah, there's a spiritual gathering. Let's talk about this spiritual gathering. It's called Mount Zion, though. And when you come up to the mount. You know, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels. In fact, when we gather together for September to remember, I pray that the Lord will open our eyes to see. Yeah, you might actually see that there are angels all around. Open your eyes. You might see that not only are there angels all around, you know, it's called the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, written in heaven. You know, and who's there? Well, God is there. And who else is there? The spirits of just men made perfect. You know, so we're spirits when we gather together. We're spirits. Spirits of just men made perfect. One time I said, look, God is spirit. Your brethren, you know, the spirits of just men made perfect are spirit. What are we doing in the flesh? We all need to be in the spirit. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Well, then he began to see many things on the Isle of Patmos. We need to be in the spirit. Spirits of just men made perfect. God is going to visit us. You know, the flesh can't handle the presence of God. That's why when God was coming in the midst, they were told, sanctify yourself. You know, don't even go near your wives. Don't do any of that stuff. It's not that it's illegal for you to do that, but it's a carnal thing. Even though it's allowed in marriage, it's still a carnal thing. And so stay away from that stuff. Get yourself in the spirit. Be ready for the Lord. Say, well, I said, well, you know, David went into, you know, the place, the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest. Jesus was talking about it in Matthew chapter 12, talked about it. He said, well, give me something. He said, well, we really can't give this to you because it's for the priests. But if the young men had at least kept themselves from women, they could at least sanctify themselves these 3 days. Perhaps. No. Moses said, yeah. They've not done any of that. They've been, kept themselves, kept their vessels. But David also knew one thing too, that the others didn't know. He said, look, even though you call it holy bread like that, it is actually, come on, bread. It is bread. The bread is not what's holy. You know, it's what you do with it. It's about, give it to me. You know, and they said, everybody was looking. You're not supposed to eat that thing. You know, well, not only did he take it and eat it, gave it to those who were with him. And under his covering, see, under the covering of David, all of them ate the bread that they should not have eaten. And God didn't do anything to them. And Jesus even testified about it. God didn't strike them down. Didn't do anything. Because one man knew the secret of how to go beyond and get the things that people call, well, this is holy, you don't belong. David said, well, come on now. Yes, we have kept ourselves from women and so on, but this is common bread, so give it to me. And he got it. And Jesus talked about it. Jesus said, have you not read when they were telling Jesus, you and your disciples, you're doing that which is not holy. I mean, which is not lawful to do on Sabbath day. Jesus said, well, have you not read? I love the way that Jesus used to always answer the people. Have you not read what David did, which was called unlawful? Right? How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest and did take and eat of the showbread, which was not lawful for to him to eat, but for the priests only. And not only that, that he gave it also to those who are with him. Have you not read that? I tried. And he told them, you know, all the things that David did at that time when he took the bread, ate of it, gave it to people who are with him. Jesus didn't say a word to condemn it at all. And even Jesus did not condemn his disciples when they went through the fields on the Sabbath day, which the Pharisees got on their case. You can't do that. This man is a man. He's not a man of God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. In fact, he healed people on the Sabbath. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. Every time he went to the synagogue, you know, he would just heal somebody. We saw the person need to be healed. And it wasn't his healing that they were complaining about. It was the fact that the people that Jesus healed, Jesus would tell them to carry their bed. And say, you cannot carry your bed on the Sabbath day. There are other days of the week. Come and be healed on those days. But to be healed on the Sabbath means you have to carry your bed. And if this man was a man of God, he would have known the words of Moses. And Jesus just looked at it and said, my Father walks and I walk. What he does, he showed me that this man is healed on Sabbath day, so I heal him. It's that simple. You know, and they were so consumed about their dogmas and their nonsense that they had no compassion, you know, for the people. They were more concerned about you didn't keep the law. Well, the glory of God that, let me say this to you, the glory of God that was in Jesus, you know, throws away all those laws. That's right. You know, glory of God does not obey laws of do's and don'ts and all these kind of things. The glory of God cuts through the chains. The glory of God that was upon Jesus. The Bible says that the fullness of God was upon him bodily. He was shrouded, nonetheless. But, you know, he revealed a little bit of it to them on Mount Transfiguration. But it was shrouded inside of him. He had that glory in him. Wow. You know, John 3:34 says the glory of God was upon him. The Spirit of God was upon him. Not even by measure. He had it all. Now, that thing doesn't subscribe to don't do this on Sabbath day or don't do that on that. You know, it's the glory of God. Now, this glory of God, you know, that we are expecting, it's a divine appointment. God is calling his people to come for a fresh manifestation of his glory. That's what it is. You know, how will you respond? What's your response? It's a summons, you know. And Joshua, in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 5, he said to the people, prepare yourself, because tomorrow God is coming among you. And this was a man that believed God. But he told the people, you got to prepare. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself, for in a few days, God is coming down among the people. He's coming. And so consecration, I mean, we have days of consecration, but I want you to stay consecrated. Not that we are doing common fasting, consecrated or the global or community fasting, but you stay consecrated, whether you're fasting or not, stay consecrated. Because that's the atmosphere that prepares for the glory. That's right. Who shall ascend? Psalm 24 says. Who shall ascend into that place of glory? Well, there's a place of glory from where Adam fell. Did you know that when Adam lost the glory, God couldn't find him? Think about that. God was never looking for Adam before Adam lost the glory. It was after he lost the glory that God couldn't find him. God couldn't see him. Adam, where are you? Because see, God was used to this man being where God was. Where God was where he was. Where Adam was where God was. He was in the glory. He was there, right there with God. God didn't even be looking for him. Now, the easiest way, and I say this kind of tongue-in-the-cheek way, easiest way to hide yourself from God is get away from the glory. Not that you can really hide from God like that, but you get away from the glory. You're not there. You're not present with him anymore. Adam was no longer present with God. So, was hiding. And God was having to look for you. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? What are you doing down there anymore when you're supposed to be right here? See, he fell from the glory. And now, God was looking for him. People thought that God was always looking for Adam. No, God wasn't always looking for him. It was after the fall. That's when God was looking for him. Before the fall, God didn't need to look. He was right there. He's there with God in the glory. And God just talked to him. And, and he knew what God knew. The thoughts in God's head were already communicated to Adam. Before God even thought something, Adam knew it. Because God put upon him the spirit of God. The cosmic knowledge of the divine creator was put upon Adam. And he had knowledge of all things. He knew all things that God wanted him to know at once. He didn't have to learn anything. He just knew it. God put it upon him. That's what the glory does. And then God said, okay, what are you going to say about this one? What are you going to call this one? He called it something. Cool. Adam didn't think about it. He just said it because it was at his lips. The knowledge of God was in him just like that. And whatever he said, there was no dispute. God didn't need to check what Adam was saying. No. There's no, it was whatever he said, that was it. Because he was in the glory. Lord, help me get back in that glory. I want to get back in that glory. And God took a step back. The man is here now. Adam, you got this. And of course, Adam got it. And he did too, for a while. See, now we're still struggling and trying to get ourselves back to the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you must be looking for when you come into this meeting. Did you know, when the glory of the Lord is present, then the power of God will be present to heal. No sickness can be a match for the glory of God. No disease. I don't care if it's crippled. I don't care if they're blind. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we saw Jesus do it everywhere he went, that he could carry that glory. they brought people to him. He healed them all. Just healed them all. And everybody was healed. Glory to God. We're looking for that at September to remember. Every sickness will fall in Jesus' name. If you believe it, you can say amen for it in the chat room. It's going to be like that. But that's what God called for. That's what we are believing God for. And that's what you must be believing God for. God is coming. Are you getting yourself ready? There was a man in John chapter 5. He didn't know it was God coming, but he knew that God was sending something. He said, well, if the angel comes and stirs that pool, and if I can just, the parameters were, you had to be the first. You know, it really wasn't God coming. It was the angel of the Lord. It was God's mercy. You know, just a sprinkling of his mercy. You know, just send the angel, trouble the water, let somebody get in there, whoever. And that people for a long time, they all just believed that. You know, that look. And this man was even trying to tell Jesus about it. Can you imagine? I was trying to tell Jesus about it. You know, I'm waiting for this thing. And I'm inching closer. If I can just be the first, we don't know, but we know it's around this season. And if I can just be the first person to get in that water, I know I will be healed of whatever sickness I have. I know. And I've tried it before. Somebody got in ahead of me several times, but I keep coming. One day it will be my turn. Well, that's what he thought. And yeah, if he had, sure enough, if he was able to get in there first, but there were a great number of impotent folk, and all of them had the same desire. Get in there and be the one that will be healed. Well, Jesus, therefore, coming in on this scene to show us a lesson. It's just about teaching us a lesson. I mean, Jesus could have healed all those impotent folk that were there, but he didn't. He focused on this one person. You know, it wasn't that he tried to heal the rest and they were not healed. Didn't even try. Just let them. But he focused on this one person to teach us a lesson. There was something about this man that drew Jesus. So Jesus walked up to him and says, "Will thou be made whole?" Will thou be made whole? Now, if you have an ailment and a disease or a situation or something that you've been dealing with for years, and you come into the conference, and I were to say to you, let's say it's a physical healing, a cripple, blind, or whatever, and say, "Would thou be made whole?" Wouldn't that sound, you know, really silly if that's the reason you came? You know, that's the reason this man was coming. It's like, what are you saying? This is the reason why I'm coming here every time. And you're asking me if I want to be healed? Of course I want to be healed. But I don't have any man to help me. Somebody always gets in ahead of him. And Jesus said, well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, would you like to be healed today? Not when the angel comes, and not if you happen to be the first to get in there, which you might not be. Remember, you've missed the opportunity many times. But I'm talking about, do you want to be healed now? The man looked at Jesus and said, well, of course I want to be healed. You know, but he didn't understand it, because in his mind, his healing was going to come from being the first to step in the water after that the angel troubled the water. So he's got to get it just right. And so many of us, sometimes we're looking. This is where this thing is going to come. This is how God is going to do it. God may do it like that. You know, so well, that's the way he's always done it. Well, yeah, maybe he wants to do it like that. Maybe not. Can't put God in a box. Jesus showed us that. You can't put God in a box, say, unless I step in that water, I will not be healed. No. Not when Jesus is standing right there. Hallelujah. When Jesus is standing right there, the glory of God throws all that stuff away. Can be healed right now. Not about the angel, not about the water. And Jesus says to the man, today, it's not about the angel. Angel did a good thing, but how many of you got healed when the angel came? Just one of you. And you may not be that one. You haven't been that one. Today, it's not about the angel. And it's not about the water. I'm right here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that we will see Jesus. Not the angel, not the water, not the pastor, not the minister, not whatever thing we think, you know, is the reason why we're going to be healed. See Jesus. If you can gaze upon him, you will go away with your healing. Okay, how long that condition has been in your body. Jesus knew that this man had been long time in that condition. Saw him lie down there like that. Changed his story in one moment. Now, that's what the glory does. And Jesus comes upon the scene like that. And Jesus did it not to be known of any man. Soon as he gave instruction to the man, he walked away. They were looking for him. You know, we're looking for him. The same thing with the man born blind that he healed in John chapter 9. You know, he healed him and just walked away. So the things that God will be doing for us in this September, it's not about us capturing it on the movie set, putting it on social media to draw attention to ourselves. No. Jesus never cared about any of that. But many times he said, don't tell anybody. Just go. Well, the people told everybody anyway. He didn't care about that. That was not his concern. You know, his concern was compassion for the people, not to be advertised. In fact, his family in John chapter 7 challenged him. Why is it that you are doing these things in secret? So are his own brothers. His own brothers, born of Mary and Joseph. Why is it that you are doing these things in secret and you want to be known? They thought that he wanted to be known because he himself didn't even believe, we're told. There's no man that doeth these things in secret and yet wants to be known. He didn't want to be known like that. I used to tell the people, you know, even when these devils cried, I said, shut up, be quiet. Don't tell the secret of who I am. You know. And they said, make yourself known. Advertise yourself. If you want to be like that. I said, no. Just put them away. They said, well, let's go. Because in their mind, they wanted to go, him go with them to the feast. So he will get there. They will advertise him. And say, hey! Jesus is here. We are his brothers. Anything you want, he will do it for you. We are the people that are connected to him like that. You want something, you come to me. I'll hook you up. They were going to do all of that with Jesus. Jesus said, no. No, no, no. You guys go on. You know, my time is not yet. He would wait for the Father. The Father said, don't go with those people. You know what they are going to do. If you go with them, don't go with them. You know, so Jesus said, well, you know, you go on. And so when they went, the Father said, yeah, all clear. Now you go. See, but the way that Jesus does his things and the way that he's going to do the things for us in this event that we're going to is not about, you know, for us to get to put on a show. We're not putting on any show. But God is going to put on a show. Praise the Lord. You know, God's going to show us something that we've never seen before. He said, look, call on to me, Jeremiah 33:3, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. So the people in Exodus 19:17, Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. You know, so there is a meeting with God, ladies and gentlemen, that we're about to do. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. And what did he say about the people? In Zephaniah chapter 3. I will gather them to the solemn assembly. Those that have a sorrowful heart. Come on down. Huh. Glory to God. You know. Come and see Jesus. We sang that song at the beginning. Come and see wonderful Jesus. Come on down. It's all about Jesus. Not about the pastor. It's not about this person or that. No. Come and see Jesus. Some people say we would see Jesus. Say, well, come on down and see Jesus. That's what the Lord is calling us to. You must build your expectation. Psalm 62:5 says, my expectation is from him only. Well, what is your expectation from? From the Lord. Let it be from the Lord. And there's a promise, a powerful promise There's a glory that is going to be revealed. I am looking forward to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 to 14 will tell you that. When the people were able to focus and be united in what they wanted to do, in making one voice to be heard in praising the Lord and praising the beauty of holiness, once they were united like that, make one sound. And how can 120 people make one sound? Well, they figured it out. And once they figured it out, that's all it took. The glory of God came down. Hallelujah. Now, if we can figure it out, heaven pays attention when we figure it out. You know, God said, well, these people, they are in unity. Nothing will be restrained from them. Huh? Well, let me say it to you too. Nothing will be restrained from us if we can just figure it out. Come on in there with expectation to meet with the Lord. Everybody, you know, in the same unity. It's going to be so powerful. Now, all the assembly must assemble themselves together before the Lord. Get themselves ready. Numbers chapter 10, verse 3. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. We're expecting the place to be shaking. You know, place was shaking. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, the place where they were assembled was shaking together. Can God really shake that place where we will meet? Can his presence and his glory shake that place? Well, I believe so. And that's what I am looking for. Now, the Lord also says, you know, two things he called for in this conference. Prayer fire. That means the glory. And also it's a teaching conference. Because the people that do know they are God, Daniel 11:32, they are the ones that will be strong and do it. So there's stuff we need to know. And you can't know it except there be a teacher. So Romans chapter 10 says, how can they know unless there be somebody to tell it to them? You know, praise the Lord. So, there's going to be the teaching grace. There's going to be the prayer fire grace. That means there'll be an atmosphere where things will change. You know, there's some things that you've been struggling for. You may even be in business. You may be an entrepreneur that have been struggling with, you know, business. You know, things can change like that. I was in a meeting one time some years ago. You know, I say these things even to psych myself up, just like Jesus would say, well, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to deliver me up and I'll be raised up the third day. So I'm saying this thing to also psych myself up. I was in a meeting one time. I went to Lagos, Nigeria. I was in the fellowship. This was in 2006 or something. And Holy Spirit said, call for the prayer line. I called the prayer line. I say, well, everybody that wants healing on this side, everybody that wants something, some other miracle other than healing on this side. A lot of people went to that other side. Some people went to the healing side. Some people went to the other side. Among the people that went to that other side that wasn't for healing, they wanted something breakthrough for their business. There's a young man there, a brother. He said he was doing importing, exporting. He's trying to sell cars and so forth. For months, nothing was moving. Holy Spirit moved. I didn't know this story. I didn't know exactly what he was praying for, but it was just there. It was a week later that I heard the testimony. But it was just there. And so there were many like that, but I just tell this one. Well, I prayed for him as whatever the Holy Spirit. One by one, they came and I just prayed. I can't remember the words I said to him, but whatever. And then a week later, and I left the place and I went to Abuja. Then my wife came from the United States and went to that place first. And then came and met me in Abuja. And when she was there, the brother gave the testimony. Said last week, you know. And what was it? Well, he sold about 12 or 13 cars, you know, in just that one short space of time, with 4 months. And he sold anything. Because there was an anointing that was present, you know. You can't duplicate it. I'll tell you the truth. I speak honestly, I can't duplicate it. I've tried to duplicate it. It doesn't work. But there is a time when God calls for it. And if God were to call for it, I can guarantee you, he would do that and even better. You know, so you come believing and you'll be praying for that anointing, you know, to be present like that. When it is present, all these things that you've been praying about, it'll be happening just like that. This man sold 12 or 13 cars in the space of about a week. That for months, he hadn't sold anything because the anointing was present. We'll be praying for your businesses. We'll be praying for your needs. We'll be praying for your healing, you know. And Jesus said, look, one thing he told his disciples is, when you go, heal the sick, you know. Not exactly even pray for the sick. You've done all your praying in the closet. So when you go there, you heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Today, Jesus will be saying all those cancers and leukemias and carcinomas and different things. Heal them all. Heal the diabetes. Heal the high blood pressure. Heal the thyroid. Heal the liver disease, the kidney diseases. Heal all those things. And those people that need, you know, be doing chemo or whatever, heal them up. They need to be doing dialysis, heal them up. I mean, Jesus will be talking to the diseases that we have now, if he was sending us out now. And he is sending us out now. And so we're psyching ourselves up to believe God for these things. September, to remember, is about experiencing the glory of God. During the prayer sessions, you will experience the glory of God. During the teaching sessions, God will transform you into levels you never know. That's what I'm believing God for. Because God called for it. And the promise he gave us is, well, if you go up to the mountain, bring the wood and so forth, I will be glorified in it. So we've read every day of those consecration days that we had a week or so ago, I read all those things in Zephaniah chapter 3 of what God was going to do. I'm going to read some of it to us again today because it's a reminder of what we should be expecting. But you must come with expectation. It is your expectation that's going to draw that miracle. And the Lord said in Proverbs 23 and 18, surely there is an end. Ha! Glory to God. And your expectation. Well, what's your expectation? What's your expectation? Well, your expectation shall not be cut off. Well, what's your expectation? Don't just come. It's not a social gathering, folks. Sure, you'll get to see people that you haven't seen. But it's not about that. We want to see the one we haven't seen that we need to see. That's Jesus. We need to see him in his glory. John said, when I saw him in his glory, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, that's his glory. When he appears in that glory. This was the same John I used. They had bragging rights, those disciples. I'm the one that sat closest to him at lunch. I'm the beloved disciple. Well, who told you that? That's what you call yourself. That's what John called himself. I'm the beloved disciple. Well, that's what he thought. And good for him. It's good for him to think that. You should be thinking that you are the beloved disciple. I think of that. I think of myself like that too. You know, I think I'm a favorite, God's favorite. You know, I think, think like that. That's good. But John wasn't leaning on any shoulder when he saw him in his glory. When he saw his eyes like a flame of fire. When he heard his voice like thunders. When he saw his feet like burning brass. When he saw his head like white as wool, he wasn't leaning upon his shoulder. No bragging rights there. He fell at his feet as dead. Now this is what we want to experience. I want Jesus to appear like that. It's so that we will not even be able to stand to look upon him. But I guarantee you, I will look. By the grace of God, I'm going to look. Because I'm going to see. You know, because if you look, you'll see something. Because what you see and adore when you're gazing upon is what you can become. I want to be like that. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to say, I don't want to hear his voice because if I hear, I will die. What nonsense is that? I want to hear the voice. Even if it's like thunders, I want to hear it because my sheep hear my voice. Glory to God. When they hear it, I will give them eternal life. That voice will, in you, bring you to eternal life. That's right. And you will never perish. I want to hear that voice. I need to hear that voice. We need to hear from you, Lord. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do? I need to hear your voice. Need to see you, Lord. I want to gaze upon you. Well, what's your expectation? Glory to God. Now remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. One of the things we're expecting is that, you know, coming into, and even before we leave, you know, the conference, you begin to be able to act like God. So we don't have to cry to God for everything. You know, we are created in the image of God. We got the attribute to be creators too. Attribute to do stuff like God, you know. So God will show us how you can do stuff, make stuff happen, where you can say, let it be. That means cause it to come to pass. And when you can say that in the name of the Lord and heaven backs it up, then you're acting like God already. Praise God. But to do that, though, we got to have clean hands and a pure heart. And we got to get rid, expunge all the unbelief, expunge all the little foxes, the, you know, the unforgiveness. Now, people who carry unforgiveness on their shoulder, they cannot experience this glory that we're talking about. So get rid of that before you even come into the camp. Get rid of all that. Check that out at the door. Before you enter in, check it out at the door. Just check it. Check it. Leave it there. Yeah, look, is there anybody unforgiving? In fact, between now and then, settle that. Just forgive them and release them. Not forgive and then you still carry it. Just release it. Let it be gone. Then you are poised for receiving an experience, an encountering, you know, an experience from God. You're ready then. And what I say to those who are physically attending the conference, I say to all, you may attend virtually. God will make a way for us to make the event available on Zoom. Announcements will come about that. When you attend virtually, you will be have the same experience. Because God is not bound by time or space. It doesn't matter. Just like I'm here and you are there. And you can experience God as I'm teaching and bringing these lessons. Well, same thing. Praise God. You know, it will be better, though, if you are in person. But we know that everybody can't be there in person. But I'm praying that nobody will be left out. Praise God. Well, that's our exhortation today. God is coming among his people. The glory is about to fall. Are you ready? You know, we can't be afraid of the glory of God. Some people are afraid. We can't hear his voice. If we hear his voice, we would die. Well, they disqualify themselves. I'm not afraid. I want it. Even if he kills me, I want it. That's right. You know, we've lived all our lives to experience the glory of God. Why would you say you don't want it? Why would you tell somebody else to go get it and give you, you know, something that's regurgitated out of their mouth? No, get it fresh yourself. Glory to God. I want to experience the glory of God myself. I don't need any secondhand thing, you know. So you come and experience it yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're only 5 days away. 5 days away. We're trying to build excitement and anticipation and preparation and expectation. These are the things that we're trying to build here. Praise God. So there is the conclusion of the matter. When God is calling for a gathering like this, it's something that we are responding to. We must respond, and we are responding. you know, your preparation, your expectation, and your determination. The woman said, if I can just press through the crowd, touch the hem of his garment, all those things, your preparation, your expectation, your determination is going to determine your experience. That's it. Not everybody will experience God at the same level, you know, but everybody will experience something. But, you know, the level is according to the power, according to the power that works in you. What's working you? What's driving you? What's your driving motivation? Well, your preparation, which means consecration and all of that, you know, your determination. Your determination means resilience. You will not take no for an answer. Your expectation, all of these things, you know, how you prepare. Part of that consecration is what I said before. Just get rid of all those little foxes, unbelief, unforgiveness, backbiting, all those things. Have clean hands, pure heart. Come before the Lord. That's right. The glory is about to fall. God in his glory is coming among his people. Let's get ready. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because the Lord has called for this assembly. He said, gather the people. This is specific instruction he gave. Gather the people for the solemn assembly. Glory to God. And in this prayer right now, I'm going to read to you a few words out of Zephaniah chapter 3 again. These are the things that the Lord is going to do for us. I'm reading it to you and I'm reading it to the Lord in this prayer as I close this lesson and exhortation out. I say unto you by the word of the Lord, sing, O daughter of Zion. Be glad, O Israel, ye children of the Lord, walking with God family. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, because the Lord is going to do something marvelous. Lord, you said, you take away the judgments. You cast out the enemy that has afflicted your people. Various afflictions, various heavy burdens, oppressing spirits, evil yokes have been upon the people. The Lord said that your king and my king, he will be in our midst. Glory to God. The king of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt see evil no more. Lord, you said this, and I'm repeating it to you. You said, declare that thou mightest be justified. Well, I'm repeating it. I'm repeating it in the ears of the people, that they should expect it. Now I'm repeating it in the ears of the Lord, that you, Lord, will remember. You said this, and I know you didn't forget, but you did tell us to remind you. And I'm reminded that you said, my people shall see evil no more. Glory to God. And in that day, in those days of September to remember conference, it shall be said to walking with God, fear thou not, and to all the people that attend, let not your hands be slack. Come on in. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. This is the word of the Lord for that conference. He will save. Glory to God. He will save you out of your troubles. Our God will come and he will save us. He will save. He will rejoice. He said, I will take pleasure in it, saith the Lord. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will even rest in his love. Ooh, we joy over thee with singing. During our singing, during our praising, you do it with your heart unto the Lord. You'll see something that you have not experienced in a long time. I will gather them that have a sorrowful heart to the solemn assembly. And every one of you that have a burden on your heart, burden on your shoulders, heavy burdens behind on your back, carried some pain, some sickness, some affliction, whatever, Heavens have been a brass, closed up, not opened up unto you. You might have carried that for days, months, or even years. I will gather them that are of a sorrowful heart to the solemn assembly, every one of you, to whom the reproach has been a burden. There's something in your life that's been a burden. Maybe a sickness, maybe a challenge, maybe a shortcoming, maybe something. It's been a reproach, a burden. Been a burden. He said, behold, at that time, what time? During that September to remember, I, the Lord, will undo all that afflict you. Glory to God. Glory to God. If that's your expectation, you can say amen for it in the chat room. I will undo all that afflicts you, and I will save her that halteth. You know, that means you can't even walk right. You know, the Lord will heal that. Glory to God. That's right here, point blank in this scripture. I will gather them that were driven out, and I will get them praise. That's he giving praise to us, not we taking praise to ourselves. We give him the praise, and he said, I'll get you some praise in that situation where, you know, before you have been put to shame. Remember, I know the Lord God will help me. Therefore, will I not be confounded? Therefore, have I set my face as a flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. My people shall never be ashamed. Joel 2, 25 to 26, he said it multiple times. My people will never be ashamed. He said, well, in the place where you have been put to shame before, I'm going to turn it around for praise and for glory. At that time, will I bring you again? Glory to God. Even in the time that I gather you, what time? Well, during the gathering, or September to remember. That time will I gather you, and at that time I will make you a name. Even walking with God will be a name. One day it'll be a household name. Right now it's like a seed of a mustard seed. But I will make it a household name and a praise among all the people of the earth. That's right. When I shall have turned back your captivity before your very eyes, saith the Lord God Almighty. Father, we have spoken the word back to you. We've spoken it in the ears of the people. We have spoken it in your ears. He said, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. So it is spoken, and so let it be written, and so let it be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. I give you, Lord, the praise. Give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.